Yes, I understand. It must have been terrifying. So many unexplainable things have happened here.
We're back. Back streets, back. All right.
I can't.
Clearly, school's back and we've lost our minds.
I have the sleepy haha, so.
Okay, so for episode 14, we decided to do a little special episode.
Yes, we decided to, I don't know, would you call it interview or just kind of talk with all the new hires in the building?
Yeah, I think it felt, I think they thought we were interviewing them.
Yeah, they were very nervous. They didn't know that we don't give out questions
before. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's a great, hilarious point.
So they were very nervous as to, like, what they were walking into.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot that we don't give questions before. We just jump into this. Mr. Fisher and Mr. Lee have gotten the questions because they are our bosses.
They even got more of topics than the specific questions.
Right. That's true. Like broader topics. But
yeah,
I think it just makes it more authentic.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can see that during these conversations with the new hires, because our questions lead to some more authentic conversations with them and just really trying to get to know them. So the questions were more just like, tell us about yourself. And we asked questions from there. So,
right. Like they were leading questions that way, like it more came from it. Right. But so there are six new hires in total, but because it went so well, we are going to be splitting this up into two episodes because we just have so much to put out there. I think we got like a good at least 10, 15 minutes of everybody each.
Wow. Yeah.
Like usable. But the audio, because so it was our first time recording in person. So we set up in my classroom and the audio, it's fine, but there are parts that just sound like a little bit muffled. So I guess we'll just look out for that. But now we're recording this intro, you know, from our normal.
From our homes where we belong.
So on this episode, it will be Maurizio Munez, who is in the English department. And then Richard Figueroa, who is a guidance counselor. And then Christy Blundetto, who is in the science department.
Yeah, and all three of them are just like super cool and fun to talk to, and they all bring such passion to their new jobs, you know, like Maurizio talking about how he really enjoyed all of his English classes and the ideas that he has to bring to students to kind of get them to enjoy reading, and Richard Figueroa talking about like how his high school guidance counselor inspired him. So like bring that inspiration and motivation to the students here. And Christy talking about how she worked in the science field and how she got so excited and so passionate talking about working with animals. So I think just their passion will bring some kind of new, fresh energy to the classrooms.
Yeah, it definitely will. We won't give away what Christy did before becoming a teacher, but we both were shocked.
We said, say that again?
Yeah, we both, our reaction is like, wow! When I was editing it today, I was like cracking up because it was just like literally exactly what I would still react to if somebody told me that they did that.
Yeah, it was awesome because I just wasn't expecting it. So I was just like, I'm sorry, say what?
I've never met anyone so passionate about science until we interviewed another new hire, Cheryl, today, where I was like, oh, it's two people that I've met. And I think I know when I really get passionate about English, I can totally get in the zone. But seeing it on someone else in a science, I don't think I've ever seen that before, no. Really.
And I think, not to like jump ahead to the second part of this episode, but I think Cheryl had such a great point when we were recording with her this morning that she has such a passion because she worked in the biology field as well before coming into teaching it. So she can bring this perspective of, you know, this is why it's so important. And not that other science teachers cannot do that. They totally can. But that was kind of what she was saying, was like, she loves her subject so much because she's gotten to see the benefits of knowing the content in the real world.
Right. Yeah. That's
the same with Christy.
Right. Right. And we say it in this episode a lot, but those real life experiences are what the students value. And what is, it's like, what's going to make them listen and also take it in and absorb it. Right. The fact that, you know, we talk about Maurizio, a lot of his family members are undocumented and he can talk about that and bring that to the classroom. And, or the fact that Richard like did have that experience with his guidance counselor when he was in high school, like that's a real life experience. And then Christy bringing in her science, like actually doing what she did for a living, is just crazy. It's just really cool.
Yeah, it is. It was, I feel like this episode was kind of exhausting to record just because we had to record at such crazy times to get our schedules to match up with everyone. But I'm so happy that we did, because otherwise we would never get to know this much about them, because we don't really see them this year.
Like, right.
Around. So I was really excited that we were able to pull this off.
Right. Today, after we finished recording, we just looked at each other and we're like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I mean, we were getting to school to record before school. We recorded after school.
Yeah.
We were just constantly, I feel like, recording because we had to, like,
right,
match up our schedules with people. And it was either before school or after school, really.
So two things that I just want to like clear up, because of the audio got a little messed up. Number one was in Maurizio's interview. We're calling it an interview. First of all, I struggled so hard with how I was introducing all of the new hires.
You would have thought you were asking her to do the world's hardest math problem.
I take that personally, because everyone listening knows I'm bad at math, so I don't appreciate that little jab.
I said the world's hardest. I didn't say you couldn't add 2 + 2.
All right, really? This is a hib. But yeah, I really didn't know how to introduce, and I didn't think about it because Maurizio was our first one. And when the second one came, I had no idea how I was leading into the next one.
Yeah.
So Maurizio talks about at the end, when we ask him how he feels about having, you know, difficult conversations with his students, he addresses the fact that he definitely wants to have them, but he's heard like horror stories from other districts because maybe staff wasn't, or administration wasn't so supportive. And I think that part kind of got a little bit messed up because of the audio. So I wound up having to cut it, because we were saying how supportive Adam was when we first asked him to do this, and how supportive Heidi has been. And then Alexis jumps in and says how supportive Mr. Fisher was, because he was on it. And then I, being
again,
the real one that I am, said, don't forget Mr. Endy.
Mr. Endy, I'm just saying, if she had to cut that, it means it's not true. So there's,
I'll keep the unedited version just for you, Mr. Endy.
So. I'm quitting.
But then you bring up a really good point. That's really why I'm more annoyed that I had to cut it, because you were saying how supportive everyone is, not just in our school, but in the district, and really wanting to make that change and address these issues and talk about real things. I mean, small example, today I tweeted that picture of my Bitmoji with the Black Lives Matter mask, and like Adam retweeted it and it's got so many likes and stuff. And it just, like, that's a small thing that I don't think every district in America would necessarily support.
Yeah. I haven't even been on Twitter today, so that's exciting. I'm happy for you that you're, you know, getting some Twitter attention.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one step closer to Ben.
Likes and 5 retweets. One step closer to Ben, yeah.
Honestly.
But yeah, again, I think, you know, even, again, the every administrator and staff member has given us great feedback, and that is definitely not something that you would find in a lot of places. So
right.
I'm happy to be working somewhere where that's just the norm. Like, they're very supportive, and you bring a new idea and they're willing to work with you and talk it out if, you know, there's parts of it that need to be discussed. But for this to jump right on board with it, I think was phenomenal. And I really appreciate their support and giving us a platform for to share our voices.
Yeah. Christy gave us a really nice compliment when we had, first off, also, I just, the fact that we reached out to these essentially strangers and we're like, hey, want to go on this podcast?
Yeah. And an email on the first one back to probably the hardest school, beginning of school year yet. And they all were just so excited to be on it. It was,
yeah, like no hesitation.
Yeah, just like replied like, yeah. And then we're like, yeah, I'll meet you at 6:40 a.m.
Right. And then just jumping right into it. Even though they were nervous, like they just jumped right into it and were willing to share so much. And I think that was awesome. And then Christy said that it actually, our podcast went into her decision of where she wound up going, like for her job.
Yeah. She said she had, was trying to decide where she wanted to work. And she saw our podcast listed on Overbrook's website. And she loved to see that the school was supporting such big issues, or at least talking about such big issues. So she was like, that was it. That was kind of like what she said was kind of her deciding point, because she wanted to be somewhere that the staff in the district at least talked about these difficult topics.
Right. And that was the point. And I think from day one, and all in my mind, like my whole teaching, I think philosophy is like, if I can change one person's life, I've done it. And I know that that's like sounds so corny, but it's so true. Like, that's it. And I think that the reason we did this was for that. And I think that's so cool that to hear somebody say, yeah, it changed my decision. Or it made my decision.
Yes, yes. Because I don't think I ever would have thought that this podcast would be on Overbrook's website and change a new hire's decision. And a new hire, again, that is just so excited to be here and seems
right.
He's a great addition to.
Right. And to hear about it. Because, you know, teachers change students' lives all the time, but the students necessarily don't come back and say, hey, you changed my life. You don't,
right.
You know.
Right.
So to actually hear that this small little thing made a influence or impact is really cool. It was like a really cool moment.
Yeah.
And then the second little asterisk that I want to say is that You can hear it kind of well, but when Richard says his race, it cuts out a little bit. I do keep it in, but he says he's 100% Dominican, and it just like blurs a little bit. So I just wanted to like verify that, because we do talk about, we joke around with, I think it's either Maurizio or Richard that we joke around like how the diversity has shot up just from the people that were in the room right there that we interviewed.
Yes. Yeah. Like it did. I mean, yeah. So it was fun to talk to, again, people with different backgrounds.
Anything exciting going on in your classroom? Oh, how's your new elective? Not that, I mean, it's only been like a week, but.
It's good. I really am enjoying it. It's difficult with the challenges of having half of the students on Google Meet and half in person. Like that discussion piece, we still kind of have to figure out how to kind of bridge that gap. And then today when I went to show a short video clip in both the elective classes, my laptop crashed. So we're hitting kind of a bumpy start, but I think it's just going to take time and adapt, but the kids have really seemed to be into, we've done a lot of just like looking at ourselves. So how are we today? They did a self-identity chart. So how do they define themselves versus how the society defines them or might look at them and put a label on them. So that's what we were looking at today. And then we'll start our, officially start our women's unit tomorrow. I wanted to start it today, but I found this lesson on kind of how you identify for yourself. And I thought it was so important because how can we look at other marginalized groups and discuss their identity and how those groups are looked at if we don't understand ourselves and how we define ourselves as, like, how I define myself as a Black woman versus how society defines me. Because how can you discuss and kind of, not debate, but discuss stereotypes without
like self-reflection.
Without self-reflection, yeah. And without knowing, like, okay, well, if that we think that this group is, like, I don't know, I throw it out there, say women should stay at the home. But if you're a woman and you have these large career aspirations, then how can you look at other women and say, no, well, you should stay at home because you don't want to. And I think it's the same thing that Ibram X. Kendi was saying in his book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, is he admits he was had kind of racist thoughts and even against people of his own race. And so I think it's important to take a step back before looking at groups and looking at ourselves. So hopefully hopefully the students watch the video today independently, and then hopefully we can find a way to do some type of discussion piece on it tomorrow before kind of moving along. But I think what's fun is there's such great potential for the class, and that all of the kids, the first couple of days, I was like, what do you want to learn? Like, why are you here? Why did you take this class? And they're all like, I just want to learn about people who are different than me and learn like another side of history. And so they're all there for the right reason, and they're coming in open-minded. And I asked them, you know, what are your expectations from your classmates? And they were all like, I just hope that everyone, all my classmates are open-minded and respectful of the different opinions that might come up. So they all, it's been a great start in that aspect. But once we get through our technology hump, I think it'll only get better from here. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that's great. What was your response to, did you have to answer the question?
Which one?
Like how society looks at you versus how you view yourself.
Yeah. So I made my identity chart as an example, because I think if I want the kids to be honest with themselves, then I have to show them like me being vulnerable.
Right.
And doing it myself. So the ways that I defined myself was like a traveler, a baker, a teacher, a daughter, a sister. And then some of the ways I listed that society defines me is either as like a caretaker, as a woman, or like as a Black woman. I also put angry on there, like that angry woman, angry Black woman specifically. I put how people assume when you're a teacher that you're poor. And I'm not saying I'm like, because I'm definitely not rolling in cash, but like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm poor, you know? Well, maybe right now until I get paid tomorrow, but
right, it's been a long stretch of a pay window here.
Yes. some may say too long. So just kind of those like kind of stereotypes that I feel like, you know, when I are uneducated, like people are surprised sometimes when I talk to them that I have a master's degree already. And so it's just in those little things that, and I think that was the hardest part, was trying to think of ways that other people in society might look at me if I was just walking down the street, and like what they might assume, because you hope that people see you the way you want them to see you. And not always the case. So a lot of, quite a few of the students were saying as they were completing theirs that that's what they found to be the hardest thing as well, was like, well, I don't know how other people see me. And I was like, yeah, I, because no one comes up, most people won't come up to you and be like, wow, you're whatever they believe you might be. But like, for some students, they really did some self-reflection. They're like, well, people always tell me I look angry. So I guess that like they would think I was angry and like unapproachable. And I was like, yeah, exactly. But you are not. Like once they get to know you, you're very nice and you're caring and whatever. So that self-reflection to see them go through was really cool.
That is the hardest thing to do, is look within yourself, because it's the scariest thing to do.
Yeah. And just to kind of step back and say, how do I portray myself? And do I portray myself in a way that I would want to?
Right. Right.
It will be fun. It'll be exciting. And so off we go into another school year.
Yeah, as different and crazy as it is. But the good thing is, if you haven't met the new staff or if you haven't gotten to know them, these next two episodes will really fill you in.
Yeah, they definitely will. And we really hope you listen to both parts and not just one, because it's really a great group of staff, new hires. And so I'm really excited for us as staff members to use them as resources, but also for the students to have them as teachers and guidance counselors and all of the above for resources and support themselves.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So episode 14.
Here we go.
Okay, so for today's episode, we are interviewing the new hires at Overbrook, because there has been several new hires. I think we counted how many in total.
There are 6 or 7.
So for the first interview, we have Maurizio Munez, who is new to the English department, which is my department.
All right, so Mexican/Honduran. So both of my parents are from Central America. My father from Mexico, my mother from Honduras. They both like immigrated to the U.S. and, you know, that's where I came from. And I was born in New York, the Bronx, and then we moved down to Vineland. So like, that's why I'm here, you know?
Wow. My dad is from Guatemala. Very, very cool. So our first question is, have you always wanted to be a teacher?
No, not always. but I had always been pressured to be a teacher, and I kind of like, I don't know, I didn't like it because it seemed like that thing where people, like I had a bad perception of what teachers were. Like it was always like a fallback and no one really went into teaching because they cared about it. And as I kind of dipped my toes in the water as a substitute, I started realizing like, well, this is really fun, really aggravating too, but it's the only job I've been at where I'm like looking forward to being with the students the next day. I'm like, well, let me see if I could do this, like, you know, for real. And, you know, that's how I got into teaching.
I say it all the time. Like, I'm so happy I wake up and I'm never like, oh, I don't want to go to work. Like, and see the students.
Right. And I feel like that's what I have been realizing this, like, first week back at school. Like, I went home the other day, I think it was yesterday, and I was, like, just feeling overwhelmed with how different the school year feels, but I was also just like, wow, I'm just so happy I get to actually see the students in person and interact with them in some way again. So have you always wanted to be an English teacher?
I guess it just always was the automatic go-to because I had an English degree. I got my English degree before my like teaching certificate. So I just always loved English to begin with. So I did become a teacher. I knew I would be in English. I also like other subjects like history, but you know, I think I always just loved gravitating towards literature and like those discussions, especially because college made it so much more fun and enjoyable.
Where did you go to school?
I went 2 years at Cumberland County College and then transferred to Rowan for 2 BAs, one in English and one in journalism, which I was into journalism at first, and that was my initial career path. But then I realized how bad the field is in terms of, you know, stability and safety. Like, you know, it doesn't pay much, and I'd have to move away. So it's just not something I wanted to do at the time. So I was like, okay, well, I need to look at another career path. And that's when I got into subbing, because my wife was like, always pushing me towards teaching. I just always like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to keep writing and doing journalism or something like that. And eventually, like, I caved in, and that's when I kind of got on the teaching path. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then after my 2 bachelors at Rowan, I went back for a 1-year program for a master's in teaching and education. And that was literally last year. So,
wow.
A lot of schooling I'm tired of.
What is something that you want staff and students to know about you?
Well, actually, it just it occurred to me, I guess, if it's like a fun fact that maybe it helps, I guess, like, if there is one, like, I'm super into gaming. Well, I used to be, obviously. I can't keep that up now that, you know, I realized this in my last year of student teaching. I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore. It's a different lifestyle. But I'm so, like, entrenched in the culture of, like, video gaming, competitive gaming. So, like, a lot of, like, I used to go compete with my friends at other, like, tournaments. Like, we'd have to drive out and play. So I wasn't that good, but it was just a fun experience. I've always been competitive like that. I played soccer when I was young. So it's like video gaming obviously was just another outlet for that. So I love all that culture.
FaZe Clan with Ben Simmons.
Oh, I was about to say, you know who else loves gaming is Ben Simmons.
Very true. You know who loves Ben Simmons, guys?
Miss Perez. What are you most excited about when it comes to teaching high schoolers?
The most thing I'm most excited for would be just like interacting with students on like a mature level, seeing them develop throughout the year, and hopefully like being able to guide them into you know, not helping them make this choice, but just guiding them and giving them advice towards like a career path, especially when it comes to college. That's really probably what I look forward to most above all else, because you know, like I said, I had a lot of experience with substitute teaching in Vineland High School, so I got to know those kids really well. And like a lot of them, I feel just want someone to listen to them. And like I could see it when they would just like come up to me in the hallway and like be late for class. I'd be like, "You have to go. You can't talk to me. Go." Mm-hmm. I just, you know, enjoy talking to them. I'm just a human level.
And then our last question is the big one. Okay, we saved that for last. How do you feel about addressing? So, well, first of all, if you've listened to our podcast, you know, we've been kind of talking about this overarching theme of Black Lives Matter and kind of the social injustices in general in the world, or and especially in America right now, currently. And Overbrook is a very diverse population, which is wonderful. So how do you feel about addressing social injustices with your students?
I feel pretty fine. I mentioned it earlier throughout in some of the classes. Like I just briefly mentioned it because we had talked about 2020. I guess my biggest concern is like administrative support, because I know that there are some administrations, or I've heard stories, you know, like those horror stories where like they don't want to have these discussions because they're too political, too controversial. And, you know, me naturally, I'm like, well, okay, but that's what's going on right now. Like we have to address it. Like, we can't have English class without talking about what's going on. So I feel good about it. I've always been, I guess, minded to social injustices, like, since I was even in high school. So that, for me, it comes naturally. I've had a lot of discussions with my dad about it. And, like, for me, it's really important because, for me, like, the issue that touches me is, like, undocumented issues in the U.S. because I have family that's undocumented. And I've seen, and it's, like, it's almost a different world when you talk to someone who doesn't have interaction with undocumented immigrants, because then their viewpoint is so like negative. So then when it comes to something like Black Lives Matter, I'm like, of course I'm supportive of it. And of course I'm going to try to, you know, elevate all the correct information about it and try to get people just to care about one another. But as a teacher, how do I do that effectively is a much different conversation. Because I mean, you know, I'm a first year teacher. Last year I couldn't really get to that point, because once I took over classrooms, you know, COVID hit, so yeah. We got shut down. So it's like, now how do I, you know, achieve what I want to achieve?
I think it's just all about navigating the conversation. Like, I think number one, administration, like the fact that Adam is fully supportive and Heidi is fully supportive of this and loves the podcast, like, it's so telling. Like, they want, it's just how you approach it. Like, you know, and that's been the theme the whole time. It's like, how are you going to, you can't be like, you can't say crazy things and be out there and, you know, but.
Right. And I think that's like what, I think not only Aaron and Heidi love it, like liking to share the podcast and maybe putting it on those in-service slides, but also like Adam was on it, on the podcast.
Yeah. This was great.
Yeah. Sounds cool.
All right, so the next new hire that we're going to be talking to is Richard Figueroa, and he is actually a guidance counselor this year. So we're getting a little bit of a different perspective than Maurizio, because Maurizio is an English teacher, as we heard before. So our questions are going to be just a little bit different geared towards being a guidance counselor. And I think you're the only one that's not a teacher that will be on this episode. So, Richard, just want to introduce yourself.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so my name is Richard Figueroa, born and raised in Camden, New Jersey. I did my undergraduate studies over at Delaware State University, where I was Student Government Association Vice President, President of multiple clubs and organizations, also joined a fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi. Took a year off, and then I went into graduate school over at Rowan University, where I was a residential director for 2 years. It was an awesome experience. Got the opportunity to build community and meet a bunch of different people. And I'm Dominican, full Dominican parents, born and raised over in the Dominican Republic. So yeah, it's a little bit about me.
Adding a little bit more diversity to our staff. Yesterday, we really, now, really, if you bring Maurizio in here. So our first like question guided just for you is, did you always want to be a guidance counselor?
I knew I wanted to be a counselor after my senior year of high school. My high school counselor, he played a huge role in my development from freshman year all the way through high school. Going into school in Camden is kind of rough. It's very easy to find trouble. So my freshman year, I was doing a lot. So he pretty much pulled me into his office and we had a talk. And he just asked me, like, what are my future aspirations and what are my goals? And I, at the time, I didn't know. I just wanted to play sports, football. And he was like, all right, cool. We're going to work on a few things. And by the time of my junior year, I was already taking honors courses, AP courses. He was just putting me in the right direction in order to set me up for success. So I was like, wow, you did a lot for me. And I didn't have a father figure at the time. So he played that role for me as well. It was cool. And he started as a mentor for me now. So he made me pretty much want to pursue the career. And my passion for working with students are, it's crazy. I worked with the YMCA for some time and I enjoyed it a lot as a mentor for those students. So working with high school age students is like the perfect age because I feel like they're doing a lot. So this is a perfect opportunity for you to kind of save a life. And that's what I'm here for.
Why do you think that your guidance counselor, like what made him reach out to you?
I feel like our school, it wasn't full of troubled kids at all. I went to Leap Academy, so it was a prep school. So I guess like those kids that were kind of on the bubble of being at risk, I was kind of with those. So he kind of pulled me in and was trying to just do some one-on-one interventions and things of that sort just to figure out why and how could he better assist us.
That's awesome. And I feel like that's something that so many students here probably will benefit from.
Yeah.
Having that experience and wanting to reach out and help and support them in that way.
True.
That's awesome. So you said you went to Delaware State and you took a year off and then went to Rowan. So it was a 2-year graduate program?
Yep. At Rowan, it was a 2-year graduate program. I was fortunate enough to find a graduate assistantship in order to get school paid for. So it worked out in my favor. And while I was there, I mean, the experience was awesome. I got to meet a bunch of different people, get my hands involved in a bunch of different things. So it gave me a lot of different experiences.
Even though you said high school is the age, like, was it ever a different age for you? Did you think or?
Yeah, for sure. When I first started off my educational, I guess, journey, I was interning at an elementary school as a physical education teacher, and those kids ran me out the gym. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm not ready for this. I got to have a lot more patience. And it wasn't for me at the time. So then I actually got experience at a middle school as well, and the middle school kids were just as crazy. I'm like, yeah, no way. I need a little more maturity. Some people that I can actually hold accountable for different things. So in high school, it was like the perfect age for me.
Yeah, I literally did the same exact thing. I went elementary school. Yeah. And then I did my first like observing in elementary school. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Well, I did CAP in high school. I don't know if you guys had CAP where it was like senior year. You could leave early if you either worked or like you had to show proof or you could do CAP where you would either work in the school office or you could work at like a different elementary school in our district because we had so many.
Yeah.
So they were like always looking for like little helpers. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll do CAP. I want to be a teacher anyway. And I did it in third grade, like a third grade. And that was fine. But then observing in college was when I was like, oh no. And then I did another observation. I was like, all right, maybe middle school. And then it was middle school. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
And then high school, I was just like, okay, yeah.
Seems like the perfect fit.
Yeah, and I couldn't imagine now elementary schools. I give it to them.
Yeah. What is it that you're most looking forward to throughout this school year?
I think given our current circumstances, I think just meeting students is what I'm looking forward to. I scheduled a few of my seniors today to meet virtually, but I'd rather meet in person. I mean, I vibe off with energy. So being virtual is kind of hard.
Yeah, but it is that meeting the students. The in-person student interaction is the best part.
Yeah.
The best part.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about with Maurizio yesterday. Because Melissa and I were saying, like, that's one of the struggles that we're adjusting to this year is we're so used to having, like, students that come in and out of our rooms that we don't even have anymore. And now trying to find like the best way to have a unified classroom when half of them are sitting on the computer and half of them are in front of you, and then they switch. Because Maurizio was saying he's so excited because during his Google Meet, they were like all talking about something, and he was like, it was so cool just to feel like there was communication and we were getting like somewhere. So, yeah, it's definitely.
And it was the thing we missed the most last year. That was the thing that like, we were the most sad about, was literally sad.
I literally were tears.
Yeah, on the podcast. Okay. So we talked about this yesterday with Marcy, which was hilarious. We'll give you the question first, and then we'll tell you why. So the question is, what is something you want staff and students to know about you? But more so, I guess, staff members, because Marcy was like, that's hard. And I said, you're getting off easy because usually on those first in-service days, you have to stand up in front of the auditorium. And
yeah, I heard of that. Yeah.
You have to do it here without audience input.
Yeah.
A fun fact. I don't know. I don't really have any like interesting. I don't think anything's pretty interesting. I don't know. I'm a big sports fan. Bleed green. Okay. Huge Eagles fan. Yeah. I like to work out on my spare time. I love to travel. Okay. Travel. I think I'm a travel connoisseur.
Is there anywhere specific that stands out?
Dominican Republic, of course, because it's home. Not home to my family, but yeah, Dominican Republic for sure.
And so the whole like overarching theme and reasons that we started this podcast was, in the wake of the murder of George Floyd and the resurgence of Black Lives Matter, Melissa and I were trying to create a outlet for not only ourselves, but for students. So students can have been listening to this and giving us great feedback about like how they've really just loved hearing their teachers having these real and honest conversations. So how do you feel about addressing social justice or injustice issues with students?
I mean, I feel like we all see what's going on, right? Nobody's blind. That's the elephant in the room. But we all play a huge part in it. So if everybody's pulling their own weight, everybody's making sure they're making each other aware of what's going on and talking about it. I think conversations continue to happen as they should. And so we could put an end to this. I mean, as we all know, this stuff is huge and it's affecting everybody daily. It takes a toll on everybody differently. So just making sure you're aware of what's going on and just talking about it. Continue to talk about it, spread the message so we're all aware of what's going on and try to be fair to everybody equally.
It's just that is the focal point, I think, of just having those conversations.
Yeah.
If you can.
And it can be tough. I mean, everybody's in situations where you don't really know how to address it, but talk about being educated in a sense and just talking about it.
That's what we've said before, just that being educated piece. Because, like, I started this new elective course this school year, and I was telling this to the students in the class yesterday. I was like, the whole point of this class right now for me is so you can be educated, so you're not graduating or coming back next year and you're getting into arguments with people who disagree with you. Like, this is straight facts. I'm not giving my opinion. We're reading, we're researching, we're looking into information, and now you can take that and have an educated conversation. So that's where any of those arguments stem from is just people not on either side of the argument not being educated enough to say like, okay, I understand what you're saying, but and being able to spew a fact or two. So that's definitely the
thank you foundation. And the staff will be excited to get to know you because it's so different than a normal year where they would get to know you. Without a mask on, and you'd be able to, it would be normal. So, thanks. All right, so the next new staff member that we're going to be talking to is Christy Blundetto.
Yeah, you said it right. Nice. Yeah. I frequently go by Miss B because Blundetto can be a lot for people.
But right. And it's good because Olga, who's an English teacher, used to be Miss Bakalenko, and a lot of students called her Miss B. So now that she got married.
So I can own the B.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. So we've been starting off with just asking where you went to school, your race, anything that you want to tell the audience, the listeners.
Sure. Yeah. So I first, I grew up in New Jersey. I grew up in North Jersey. I did my undergrad in Philadelphia at what was Philadelphia University. It's changed names a couple times. I started there. It was Philadelphia College of Textiles and Science, and then it was Philly U, and now it's part of Jefferson. So I didn't go to Jefferson, but the school I went to is Jefferson now. I'm currently doing my master's in education at Central Michigan University, all online, obviously, because it's in Michigan. So I get to do teaching plus being a student plus learning online. So I get to experience what that's like. And I know a lot of the frustrations that students are having because I experience them every week. And, and I was a biology major for undergrad. So I was an alternate route teacher. So I had a whole separate career prior to teaching.
Right. And you're race.
I'm white.
And then what was your career before teaching?
I was a zookeeper.
Wow.
And I've worked at a few different zoos. I've kind of taken life as a journey. Most of my zookeeping career was at Philadelphia Zoo, though. So I had a lot of local zoo and aquarium connections. When we're not in a pandemic, I look forward to taking field trips there someday. And that's when I used to teach at Haddon Heights. And I took 200 plus students to the zoo one year. And it was a insane day of lots of students at the zoo, but it was awesome. And we did some behind the scenes stuff. And
everything for chaperone. We're in. Do as a zookeeper. Like, I don't even.
It's something that sounds like this, like, really fun, awesome job, right? And it is fun and awesome and something that you have to be so passionate about to do because it is physically taxing and it is emotionally draining. I mean, for anybody who has a pet at home, right, if you think about how emotionally attached you are to the animals that you live with, imagine working with, 100 animals, or depending on the size of the animals, hundreds of animals. And so we all have our favorites and the things we do, and different zoos assign you differently. So like, I've been a geographically based keeper. I worked at a zoo where I was an Australasian keeper. So I worked with animals primarily from the Australasian region. I've been a bird keeper. I've been a mammal keeper and rotated around to a ton of areas. I really, really love domestic livestock. So goats, sheep, pigs, chickens, the things that most people are not excited about, I will nerd out with you forever on. I've worked with tons of species. It's hard to find things I don't love. I was a curator. So curators in zoos are like the managers. So you manage the collection and you manage the staff. And so I was a curator at an aquarium down in Houston, officially assistant curator of fish herps and inverts. So herps, herpetofauna being reptiles and amphibians, and then invertebrates. I'm a big bug nerd. Don't tell me if you squish spiders, because I'm going to judge you.
Yes, did you watch Tiger King?
I did. So my first takeaway is Carol clearly killed her husband. And also, I think there's a lot of people who are really passionate and want to do well and don't know how to do well or do better. And roadside zoos that call themselves zoos but are really not focused on conservation are full of well-intentioned people who are just not doing the best that they could do for those animals.
I had no idea that roadside zoos existed until I saw Tiger King. And my family all watched it together, and we were like, we had no idea that this was going on in America, let alone like all down what seems like the East Coast. And
and being in that world, you're very aware of it. Big cat rescues, and air quotes, big cat rescue, are largely, very few of them are really about rescuing big cats. They're about anytime you can take a picture with a baby something, that's probably not a place you should be spending your money. Just things to be thinking about, right?
Right. My dad was like, they're sedated. He was like, look at them. Like, they're sedated. And we were like, yeah, they have to be.
Even at a young age, they're large animals.
So what led you then from your zookeeping experience to the education world?
So I always thought maybe I would be a teacher. And then when I was doing my undergrad, I had an opportunity to do an internship at a zoo and just fell in love with that and just did that for a long time. The whole time I was a zookeeper, though, I had this awesome opportunity to work with high school and college volunteers and interns. And it was one of the favorite parts of what I got to do was to teach other people how to do that. And I mean, certainly it's a lot easier to keep everyone captivated when I'm teaching you how to, you know, train a goat or how to work with a giraffe versus like telling you why biology is really awesome. And it genuinely is awesome, but it's a lot harder to tell someone that in a classroom and especially over a computer than it is when I have a living, breathing something next to me.
Right.
I'm not the draw, then that animal is. And it's really easy to get everybody involved and excited. But yeah, man, I live and breathe science. And my partner at home is a researcher. And so we just live our nerd lives and so loud and proud with our nerdiness. And I tell my students all the time, if you ever just want to nerd out and go down, I call them a nerd spiral, where you start asking a question and it leads you to something else. And just, oh, I love that. Especially if we end up at a place where we don't have answers. That's what science is all about.
Amazing. I think you're the most passionate person I've ever met about science.
Yeah.
Which is great for teaching.
Yeah, it's genuinely who I am. Like, I love that stuff.
What is something that you would want the staff members to know about you?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, there's always, so having worked with interns for so long, we would always do fun facts on new intern days, and we would usually pick a theme, like, what's your favorite, whatever. I'll go with a not fun fact. I really strongly dislike blue pen. I was thinking about it earlier. I had a blue pen in my hand, so I couldn't find a black pen. I really dislike it a lot. I don't have a good reason why. I am happy to write in any color. I just really strongly dislike blue pens.
So what have you always wanted to teach high school?
I love the older kids. I am perfectly okay if you would like to be sassy. I do well with that. If you want to challenge my thinking, I actually like that. Again, I feel like that's what science is all about. I don't think my way of approaching something is the right way. And I love when someone wants to challenge the way I've been thinking about something. I did teach middle school when I was in Texas, which I was not fully prepared for. I don't really remember being a seventh grader. I mean, I was, because I made it through. It's a very emotional time in life, and the amount of times that students just burst into tears in class, I was not prepared for that at the beginning of the year.
So what are you most looking forward to in working with high schoolers?
Oh, gosh. This year is so different. So I'm looking forward to electives, which hopefully will be back next year, and we're kind of pared down this year.
Right.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to maybe coaching down the line or just sharing my enthusiasm for running. And I also do Muay Thai. So I love being active, and I'm sure students at some point will start seeing me running in the area. I run not super close to Overbrook, but I live only 10 minutes away.
And then our last question, the big one, is how do you feel? So the overall theme is, you know, so far for our podcast has been addressing tough topics. And more so, I guess, relating to Black Lives Matter and any social, racial injustices. So how do you feel personally about addressing social injustices with your students?
I'm super open to talking about things. I feel like, and especially as a white woman, as a lesbian, so I fall into a different category that frequently gets oppressed, that I'm super open to talking about racial injustice and where things are and Black Lives Matter. I feel like that's an important thing for everyone to say, but certainly important for our white educators to get on board acknowledging the privilege that we have. And so I'm super open about having conversations about it and having conversations about how we got to where we are. I think for all of us, no matter where we are now, we can always do more and do better.